I feel that. I feel that we owe almost equal timing to the Bavli. We spent so much time yesterday discussing the Shitas HaYerushalmi as to how to understand the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that you don't blow shofar on Shabbos, but you do blow in the Beis HaMikdash. But the Bavli had an entirely different picture. The Bavli told us that in the Torah you actually do blow shofar on Shabbos, and it's only Midrabanan, Shemi Avrenad Aram, which is a Rabbim. So we started to talk a little bit yesterday about this Gezerah, why Chazal formulated the Gezerah specifically in one way and not in another way, but L'maisa, when all the dust settles, we have this Gezerah, Shemi Avrenad Aram, which is a Rabbim. Of course, this Gezerah is presupposing that there will be a Rishas HaRabim somewhere in the world. If there would be no such thing as a Rishas HaRabim, it would be kind of hard to make a Gezerah. We're concerned about some deraisa being violated, so it seems to be that there's some kind of realistic concern, some kind of realistic fear, lest the person actually carries in an area that's also in a Torah. Now the reason why that's somewhat of a controversial statement is because in order to violate carrying in a Torah, you have to identify a given area as being a Rishas HaRabim deraisa. Whether you're concerned with carrying within the Rishas HaRabim, whether you're concerned with carrying from Rishas HaYachat to Rishas HaRabim, vice versa, if the halachic Rishas HaRabim is not identified, then by definition there cannot be any deraisa here. And that becomes a little bit of a question to try to determine, do we really have such a thing? Is it practical to have a real Rishas HaRabim? Sounds a little bit strange. Well, why not? I have a street, highways, I have a main thoroughfares. What do you mean? So the Gemara gives us a whole list of conditions that are necessary to be met in order for something to be a Rishas HaRabim on a level of deraisa. If any of these conditions are lacking, I didn't say it's permissible to carry in that area, then that area falls into what's called a category called the Carmelis, which is not a Rishas HaYochid. In order to be Rishas HaYochid, it has to be literally surrounded by walls. So it's not quite a Rishas HaYochid. On the other hand, it's not quite a Rishas HaRabim, but falls short in terms of meeting those conditions of Rishas HaRabim, then there would not be any Yisr Deraisa of carrying in that area. That would be just a Carmelis. What are some of those conditions? So not a great surprise, the conditions are all based on Mishkan, like everything else in the Chashavis. So for example, one of the conditions the Gemara tells us is that the street has to be wide enough to the width of the Mishkan. What was the width of the streets, of the thoroughfares in the Mishkan? So it's a whole complicated calculation. 16 amos, based on the size. And the Agolah is a whole chagaja, the Gemara has a Shabbos to prove to you that the size of the thoroughfares in the Mishkan, when they would travel, were 16 amos wide. Now 16 amos, depending on what you think an amma is, you're talking anywhere from, an amma being anywhere from 1.5 feet to 2 feet, so you're talking anywhere from about 24 feet to 32 feet, about a pretty, fairly nice, wide street. That's one condition the Gemara says is necessary. Then the Gemara says another condition is necessary, is that it can't have a ceiling on it, because in the Mishkan there was no ceiling. It was an outdoor Mishkan, part of the Mishkan was, whatever, but that's the area around the Mishkan, the Machane Yisrael, was outdoors. So there was no ceiling. So too, if you have a ceiling, that by definition cannot be a Rishas HaRabim. Those are the two conditions that appear explicitly in the Gemara. Then there is a third condition, which is actually a big machlokes Rishonim. Rashi in Masechta Shabbos Navav quotes a tradition from some earlier opinion, some Gaonim and some Rishonim, that not only do you need 16 amos wide streets, not only do you need open roof, but you need an area where 600,000 people travel. Where did the magic number come from? Obviously from the Mishkan. Now, other Rishonim say that may have been true, not may have been true, was true, that the Machane Yisrael was 600,000, at least men between the age of 20 and 60. But the Gemara never says that that's critical. The Gemara never says that that condition has to be met. This is always a tricky thing. Whenever the Gemara talks about certain conditions, have to mimic a certain model, we wouldn't say, well, it's only Rishas HaRabim, it's a desert. It's only Rishas HaRabim if it's hot outside. So that's silly. Certain conditions, obviously, are irrelevant. Is the amount of people traveling in this area irrelevant, or is it relevant? So Rashi claims it was very relevant, and other Rishonim say it's totally irrelevant. The Rambam doesn't make any mention of this condition. So therein lies a major machlokes Rishonim about, can you have Rishas HaRabim deraisa in the absence of 600,000 people? So the Mishnah Berurah has a fascinating potential proof to one of the sides of this machlokes. From our sugya of Shemi Avi Rana Danam, says Mishnah Berurah, think for a moment what Chazal did. They uprooted the entire mitzvah tkiyas shofar. For derivatives, for thousands of years, Jews haven't heard shofar on Rosh Hashanah Chas B'Shabbos. Why? Because you may come to carry the shofar. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if you're going to tell me that you need 600,000 people to be Rosh Hashanah Deraisa, the odds of somebody carrying a shofar in Rosh Hashanah Deraisa is about between 0.000 and a few zeros, one and around there. It is so minuscule a risk. It is so small. It is hard to believe that Chazal uprooted the entire mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar just because of the one Meshuggah was going to carry in the city of Alexandria, the one city in the ancient world that maybe had 600,000 people, whatever, Rome, whatever it was. It's so unlikely. That's the Mishnah Berurah's Ha'ara. Others would respond to the Mishnah Berurah one of two ways. Others would respond that there is a Ramban in Maseches Eruvin and Daftan Tes where the Ramban suggests that even the Rishonim who say you need 600,000 people to be Rosh Hashanah Deraisa, that's only true when you're dealing within city limits, when you're dealing within the streets of a city. But when you have a highway, you have what's called a Derech HaHolech Me'ir La'ir. A Derech HaHolech Me'ir La'ir is objectively Rosh Hashanah. How can you say that a highway is not a Holech, is not a Rosh Hashanah? I don't care how many people Lamaisa are driving on the Route 80 at any given moment. How can you say that's not a Rosh Hashanah? In Chav Rosh Hashanah. And therefore the Ramban argues that even a Niach, that there is a magic number 600,000, we're not sure even exists, that number would not be relevant if you're going ear to ear. If that's the case, then maybe that could deflect the Mishnah Berurah's proof. That maybe Chazal were worried that if we let everybody blow shofar, so then you never know, someone may actually take the shofar to go from one city to the next. They can't find somebody in this town to help them with the blow shofar. Maybe the next city is within the Tchum, so maybe they'll be able to go, and they'll have a mistake, and they'll carry, and they'll give out, geschrigen, and they'll end up carrying, violating innocent deraisa. So if you accept this Ramban, that would tone down the Mishnah Berurah's argument. Not everyone accepted the Ramban. Maybe you can still deflect the Mishnah Berurah's argument by saying that if this gezeira was an absolute, you know, direct cause and effect gezeira, we're really truly afraid that if you blow shofar, you're going to end up violating the deraisa of Havaras Da'aramas. If that is the nature of the gezeira, and the Mishmur is probably right, it's so unlikely, very, very rare, such things are going to happen according to those Rishonim. But maybe the gezeira was more, almost like to create an environment, an atmosphere, to almost be magish, to show people just how serious Chul Shabbos is. You want to make a good case to how serious Shabbos is? Every few years of Rosh Hashanah, when the Olam is getting all psyched up to blow the shofar, and the highlight of the davening, we've been waiting for the whole year for the shofar. Nope. Blowing the shofar is omitted on the Sabbath. Why? There's a buzz in shul, why not? You know why? Shemi Avirenu, it's time to boost up our Shabbos observance a little bit. Lest one thinks that this is a little bit of a drush rather than a halacha, there are Rishonim in Maseches Avodah Zarah who point out that there are certain gezeiros that Chazal made that were not absolute cause and effects. It means nothing really, really terrible is going to go wrong. But Chazal wanted to get home a certain lesson, wanted to get across a certain message. And just to create the message, to create the environment, to create the atmosphere, to understand just how serious Shabbos is, even if you're right that it's a minuscule chance that something's going to happen, doesn't matter. That's also included in Shemi Avrenadad Absur Shazram. So there are multiple ways to potentially disagree with the Mishnah Berurah's proof. The question is, who really cares? At the end of the day, I can't carry in the street anywhere, whether it is Rishiram Deraisa, whether it's only a Kamlis, what's the difference? What's the difference? All the difference in the world. The Gemara tells us that if you have an area that's Rishiram Deraisa, it is very, very difficult and almost impossible logistically to construct an Eruv around an area that's Rishiram Deraisa. Because you have to construct walls, and you have to close up the doorways, and Tursa Pesach aren't going to help you. You have to lock the door. It's very, very complicated in order to encompass an area that's a Rosh Hashanah Deraisa. Building Eruvin using Tursa Pesach, using simply poles and wires, that kind of stuff, is significantly easier than building a wall around the city and locking the doors at night. I don't think we would get permission from the town of Teaneck and Bergenfield to literally build walls around town and to lock the doors. Very unlikely. But we can get permission to put up a couple of wires and poles that nobody sees anyway. The only problem is the wires and poles, the Tursa Pesach only works if the issue involved is only a Dirabanan. If the issue involved is a chashash of a Diraisa, then all bets are off. So now it becomes critical to know, is Teaneck Rosh Hashanah Deraisa? If the answer to that question is yes, then you can kiss the air of goodbye. If the answer to that question is no, so then we can begin to discuss constructing an Eruv. What's going to be the mitigating factor that it's not a Mishnah Rabbah Deraisa? The streets are 16 Am. Cedar Lane is 16 Am. Newbridge Road is 16 Am. Is wide. There's no ceiling on top of Tidek and Bergenfield. So one possible solution to almost like knock it down to being a Derabonon would be to invoke the principle of 600,000 people. The only problem is, that's a big, big machlok. It's like two opinions in Rishon, two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah is not so thrilled with it. The Minhag HaOlam is to be a little bit more mankel. The Minhag HaOlam was in Europe for many, many years to construct Eruvin around towns. And the primary reason why the Minhag was lahakel was because the towns didn't have 600,000 people in them. There's a further question, how do you calculate 600,000 people and what part of the town and do that all the time and every street? It gets very, very, what if you accept that magic number, then there's a whole Torah as to what that means practically. But suffice it to say that this line of the Mishnah Berurah, the quote-unquote proof from the Gezeirah Shem Yavirenu, would be a very, very serious concern for us. If we really, really follow this halachah of the Mishnah Berurah, this could spell doom for many, many local Erevin. So the Minhag HaOlam is not that way. There are some people who are machmer not to rely on the community Erevin. One of the reasons is for that reason. But again, the Mishnah Berurah did make a point to bring a potential raya from our sunya. Is the air on properly? What's it? It's like very warm. So anyway, so knock it down to 69. All right. Okay, good enough. You guys mask him? Okay, yeah. It's like 10 degrees hotter inside here. Yeah, you can knock that also down to 69. Yeah, thank you. I think it's also, I think it's my fault. I put it at 71 this morning because it was about 30 degrees outside this morning. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, so I had a question?
Yeah. Greg mentioned that highway would be either way. So how do you define like a highway?
According to some, not everyone, not necessarily we accept that Ramban, but according to the Ramban, that would pose a problem. That's a further question. How do you define a highway? What if you have Route 4? Route 4 is a highway. It's a highway, but it also goes the mill through a town also. People sometimes use Route 4 to get from one end of the Tidek to another. So it's not 100% that that's called Derech HaHoch really here. It's not clear. It's not clear at all.
Ready to question?
Yeah.
So, according to Rashi, so if it doesn't meet the criteria of like 600,000, so then what's the Gzeir Shema Yad Reno Dalamos if that's not really Rishas Rabbos?
No, it could be. I mean, it could have one in a million chances. It's not a one in a million. In the Yushalayim, the Gemara says that 600,000 people would be Mosar Regel, so it was considered to be a Rishas Rabbos Deraisa. There were cities in the ancient world that had very, very large populations, or at least they were centers that a lot of people would come at different times. So every once in a while there is Rishas Rabbos Deraisa. Mishnah Berurah just says that it's so unlikely that such a city would exist that Chazal would have made a gezeirah to Asad Keshof across the board. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is concerned with. Yeah.
Years ago, would they use the string like
we
do nowadays? Because we have telephone poles, but they didn't have it.
Yeah, they made real tourist business. We're lucky. We're lucky that the telephone company has done 90% of the work for us. But like in camps, when you go up to camps, so they take fishing wire and knock in 1,000 poles all around the camp and they build their own Tzitzit Bezos. Yeah. Okay. So might say we have this Gezeirah. Whatever the reason the Gezeirah is, whatever the ramification of the Gezeirah is, the bottom line is we have this Gezeirah. Gezeirah Shem Yevreni. Not supposed to build a shofar. You may end up coming to carry. But there is a very, very serious problem. Namely, what gave Chazal the authority to do such a thing? According to Rishalmi, it's not the Chazal, it's the Torah that gave them, that changed the mitzvah, so to speak, of the Keshav. But according to the Bavli, I mean, the Torah is supposed to be blowing, like Mehechatei said, the Chazal allowed to tell us to violate, so to speak, the Dini HaTorah. So this is not my question, this is the Gemara's question. The Gemara Masechet Yevamos talks about this question explicitly. And basically, the Gemara tells us as follows, that although Chazal do not have any authority to tell you to actively violate Isurim, they cannot tell you to drive in Shabbos. They cannot tell you to eat trade, even if they have the greatest reason for that. But b'shev al tasi yesh dem koch. The Chazal do have the authority to tell you to, in a sense, violate the Dini HaTorah, as long as by doing so, it's merely shev al tasi. You're merely being passive. As long as you're not budging, you're not doing something. I'm not blowing the shofar, I'm not shaking the lulav, that they have a koch to do. But once they tell you to actively do something, to violate, drive in Shabbos, eat the dreifus, violate the sisra, etc., that ain't koch b'yad ha'cham. So the Gemara is clear, Masechet Yevamos, that that's all within the details, within the parameters of los osur. So there is a controversial comment that the Rashba makes in the first parak of Masechet Rosh Hashanah that impacts on this sugya of yesh koch b'yad ha'cham lachad v'tar b'shev el tasa. The Rashba poses a question that when Chazal tell us not to blow shofar on Shabbos, They're in effect telling us to violate an Isser in the Torah. What's the law in the Torah? Losigra. Losigra means to detract from a mitzvah. So here the Torah gives us the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar all the time. And Chazal say, no, we're changing the rules. Don't blow the shofar. Why isn't that a violation of the Isser of Baltigra? That's the Rashba's kasha. So the Emes Lamita is that the question is a highly controversial working with a highly controversial premise, because we usually associate Baltigra as being when a person minimizes within the chefts of the mitzvah, in the sense of that a person walks into the shul with a pair of tefillin with only three batim instead of four batim. So that's Baltigra. A guy walks into the shul without an esrog. He's got a lulav, a das, a rubbish, he doesn't have an esrog. And hini mucham zum l'kayim mitzvah esrog shal shlosha minim. So that's called Baltigra. Here, the Chazal are not changing the mitzvah. Chazal are just telling you, don't do the mitzvah. That's Baltigra. That'd be quite a chumrah. Let's say, a guy didn't say Kriya Shema this morning, so he's in violation of Baltigra. I mean, come on, really. The person didn't put on tefillin. That's about Tigra. You put on a pair of tefillin with three batim, hini muchum zuman to be gareya, that I think tefillin is three batim. That's about Tigra. So the Rashba's kasha is a little hard, very, very difficult kasha. But okay, it's all in Kabbal, it's on the Rashba's premise. But that's a violation about Tigra. So comes the Rashba and says, what's the answer to that question? The answer is, says the Rashba, that Baltigra was only given to individuals, wasn't given to Beis Din. Beis Din is not bound by the Isra Baltigra. Says the Rashba, when it comes to psak that issued by Beis Din, the Beis Din has the authority to tell you whatever is within those parameters of telling you, and Beis Din doesn't, Baltigra doesn't speak to Beis Din. Marshal Baltigra says the Rashba, Baltaisif doesn't speak to Beis Din. The Isra Baltaisif adding on to Mitzvah Torah, that means that I walk at the shul with a pair of tefillin with five batim. I walk at the shul with five minim. I like dal minim and a tulip. That's called Baltaisif. But if Chazal tell me to add on to a mitzvah, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not called Baltaisif. And that's how the Rashba answers the famous kasha that Tosfos raises. We blow shofar so many more times than necessary according to the halacha. The Torah says you blow nine kolos. Okay, be suffik nebuch, we blow 30 kolos. Then we have to blow another. With the Rabbanan, we blow for nochamal. We blow so many additional tkiyas that are not sanctioned by the Torah. Why is that called Baltaisif? I'm adding on to the mitzvah Torah. So the Rashba says, because Chazal told you to do so. So whatever Chazal says is not a problem. That's like what Baltaisif Baltigra, don't speak to Chazal. Baltaisif Baltigra, a mitzvah is not given to Yechidim. Famous Yosef and Rashba and Rashad after Zayin. So the Yemes says Taisa disagrees, Al Risham disagrees, the Rambam to a certain degree disagrees, but the Rashba sticks to his position that the Yisur Baltaisif Baltigra are not subject to Beis Din. And that explains why there's no violation of Baltigra when you don't blow on Shabbos. So many Acharonim ask in the Rashba, they don't understand. What's the Raya if I'm not blowing on Shabbos? Maybe there is a violation of Baltigra. Maybe the Hanami, maybe Baltigra speaks to Beis Din as well. So why are you allowed to violate Baltigra? Yesh chach ve'acham, laka demetah b'shev al-tasa. Baltigra is a kind of an aveira here that's violated b'shev al-tasa. By not blowing, in the world view of the Rashba, I'm violating Baltigra. So how did the Rashba know that Beis Din is mufka for Baltigra? Baltigra doesn't speak to Beis Din. That's not the reason. Baltigra does speak to Beis Din. But Yeshkav Be'achom, Lachad Be'atay, B'Shev Atasa. So if that's the case, how could the Rashba extrapolate to Baltaisif? The Rashba is saying, just as we're violating, quote unquote, Baltigra, you're allowed to violate Baltaisif. So if you hold that, we're talking violating Baltigra, but we're allowed to do it because it's Shev Atasa. So then how can you extrapolate to Baltaisif, which is B'Kum Vasei? So for the fact that the Rashba compared the two, the Rashba understood that you're not violating Baltigra. Baltigra is only for Yachid, not for the Tzibur. So therefore, he was able to compare and extrapolate to Baltaisif. So it's a pell in the Rashba. The reason why you're allowed to not blow on Shabbos is because Yesh Koch Be'achon Laka Dabatah B'Shev Atasa. So Zaman Fandais, even the Rashba understood that Shev Atasa versus Kum Vasei is not a function of are you doing an action or not, but rather it's the difference between Asays and Lavim. If you have a Los Asay, that's violated, even though it's violated B'Shev Atasa, that would be a problem. Beis Din cannot tell you, let's say, to violate by Rav Emotze. Even though the Yisra by Rav Emotze 9 out of 10 times is violated by Shev Al-Tasa, without doing an action, that is not within the jurisdiction of Beis Din. It's not within the authority of Beis Din. So, Yesh Koch Mecham Lacha Devetar B'Shev Al-Tasa versus Kum Vasei, the Lash is a little bit Lavdavka. It's not action versus active versus passive, it's essays versus Lavim. And the Beis Din does not have the authority today to violate Lavim. So Imkain, how could you be in violation of this lav? The answer is that the lav was never violated in the first place, because the base is not bound by the lav altogether. So I'll call upon him, getting back to that story, we will be blowing, I'm sorry, maybe we'll be by the Mikdash, but we're not going to be blowing shofar on Shabbos. We're fulfilling the din of losasim and adavish egidu chayim minasmo, where we're not going to violate the prohibition of not listening to the Chacham. The Chacham are perfectly justified in instituting this. Whether or not that is ultimately what prevents us from being in violation of Tigra is up for grabs. Maybe we're not in violation of Tigra because that's not called Tigra. Just not doing a mitzvah, that's a bit of a mitzvah, that's not called Tigra. It's number one. Or maybe Yeshkov Echam covers Tigra also. Or as the Rashba says, it's not even in the ballpark, not even in the manuscript, not even in the parish of Tigra, because it's based in speaking, not the individual. So at the end of the day, we're going to be covered by not blowing shofar. We're going to fulfill the din of the Mishnah. The Mikdash are taken of a love of Medina, even though Midaraisa we should be blowing. But the din is, based on the Yisr of Lososar, we're not allowed to blow on Shabbos. This concern of Shemi Avirena Dal Rabbis B'Shus Rabbim is a concern that we find at least three places, and then a fourth as well. Three famous ones are lumped together, Shofar, Lulav, and Megillah. Megillah doesn't really speak to us, unless you live in Yibu Kevitz Chayma, because you dial it other, the way our calendar is set up, we can never fall on Shabbos anyway, but Tezvav can and does. It does this year, right? This year is a Purim Shulsh, if I'm not mistaken, because it's an Pesach Chas Shabbos. Yeah, it's a funny calendar this year. Okay. A lot of Shurim, a lot of Torahs, a lot of things to talk about this year. Good. So by saying, this Gezeirah is found in three places, but there's one place where it's conspicuously missing, and that is vis-a-vis Bris Milah. The Mishnah says at the beginning of the 19th parak of Shabbos, we do a Bris on Shabbos. Milah b'zman is Decha Shabbos, Yom HaShmini, around the Shabbos. Asks the Ran in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, what right do we have to do a Milah on Shabbos? Gezeirah Shem Yavirana, we're afraid you're going to carry the knife, you're going to carry the baby. So many things can go wrong. Why? How could we justify why Chazal didn't make the Gezeirah vis-a-vis Milah b'Shabbos? So the Ran gives an answer of the Metzias, of the psychology. The Ran says, the Gezeirah Shem Yavirenu means that everyone's going to be busy at the same time. I'm trying to blow the shofar. You're trying to blow. Everyone's running around to shake the luva. Everyone's running to get the Megillah. Everyone's all to, it's a flagging at the same time. So there's a good chance someone's going to make a mistake. By Bris Milah, not everyone's on Tarud. The father's Tarud. The mile's Tarud. Everyone else is relaxing. So if you see somebody all of a sudden going outside about to carry the knife, the place will pounce on them. They'll scream, Shabbos! Everyone's going to scream. Whatever, leave that for now. So they're going to stop the guy. So the Ran says, for Metzias reasons, there's no concern. So he turns around and asks the question to himself, if so. The Gemara says in the sixth parak of Maseches Pesachim, if you have a fellow who's supposed to finish off his process of Eifa Paraduma on an Erev Pesach Chas B'Shabbos, day seven of his Tara process, he's supposed to be sprinkled the ashes day three and day seven. He's due to be sprinkled on day seven on Erev Pesach Chas B'Shabbos. If he doesn't get sprinkled, he's not going to be able to bring the Korban Pesach. So we paskin, sorry, you can't do Hazal. Why? Shem Yavirenu. We're afraid you're going to carry the water, you're going to carry the ashes. Something's going to go wrong. Shem Yavirenu. He asks the Ran, according to my theory, that the Gezeirah only applies when everyone's Tarud. Here, not everyone's Tarud. Only this one guy's Tarud. Everyone else is relaxing. So the Ran says, no. Everyone else may not be Tarud and Eifer Paradum, but everyone's busy. It's a busy afternoon. Erev Pesach is a pretty serious time. Everyone's running to the Beis Hamikdash to get their Shechitas ready. So no one's thinking to, if they see a guy carrying water and ashes or something, no one's going to remember to stop him. So the Ran says that his theory will hold up even for the case that didn't seem to apply to, but the Ran stuck it in as well. So when all the dust settles, the Ran says that my theory is correct. Shemi Avirenu makes sense across the board. It should have applied by Mila except for the technicality. So the Taz.
So question?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Let's say this day that everyone's tired on the Shabbos, not with Bris Mila, but let's say for Rosh Hashanah.
Somebody asked me a question. Let's say you have a Mila on Rosh Hashanah, so everyone's busy thinking about Shofar. I mean, no one's thinking about Shofar because no one's blowing Shofar. You make a case. So again, Ein L'Chad Shdiras Betzvim. We don't find it was almost like a little plug v'kula. I mean, certain mitzvahs they asked, certain mitzvahs they didn't ask. And then Kachazes says the Ran, even though you're right, every once in a while we'll run into a little bit of a contradiction to this call. Comes the Taz in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. and presents an entirely different teretz, a lomdish teretz, so to speak. Not the Ran, a lomdish Ran, the Ran, but the Taz gives a different answer. So the Taz prefaces by addressing a question that's raised by one of the Gedolei Chachamim, Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrachi. Rabbi Mizrachi is known for his perush on the Rashi and Chumash, but he also wrote the Sefer Halacha as well. So in the Sefer, Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrachi, so he raises the following question. He says, why are we ever blowing shofar, even on Yontif? Isn't there a prohibition in the Rabbanan of blowing musical instruments on Yontif? There's a prohibition even of dancing and clapping. Well, that's a whole discussion whether that applies. Doesn't apply, but the Ikaron, as the Mishnah says, anything involved with music is off limits on Shabbos and Yontif, because there should be something klishir, we're afraid to make up to fix an instrument. So how in the world could we permit you to blow a shofar? Why is blowing a shofar any better than blowing a flute? If I were to try to blow a tuba, try to play a piano, play the guitar, play the drums on Shabbos, you'd stop me. On Yontif, you'd stop me. So why am I allowed to blow the shofar? That's a famous kasha from Eliyahu Mizrachi. So the Taz offers two tevrutzim. So one Taz says, shofar, it's not really a musical instrument. It's not a shir, it's not a clay shir. It's a clay mitzvah, it wasn't included in the gezerah. Technical answer. Eidu Shlomo says the Taz. Imagine for a moment if Chazal would have instituted a gezerah, would have made a gezerah not to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah because of Shabbos and Klishir, so shofar would have ceased to exist. It wouldn't have been a mitzvah Torah anymore. It means basically we would never blow shofar. Every Rosh Hashanah is an issa malacha. So every Rosh Hashanah would have been bound by the gezerah. So we would kiss shofar goodbye. So here we have this beautiful parochus that we invested. It says tikka b'chay de shofar, the beautiful picture. You have to cross it out. You have to put it. There's no shofar in Rosh Hashanah. Can you imagine telling everybody, sorry guys, facing just promulgated a gezerah, you're never going to blow shofar anymore for eternity because gezerah should be sat in klishir. So the Taz says he doesn't think Chazal have the authority to do that. He said Chazal have the authority every once in a while to step in and say, you know, don't do a mitzvah here and there. Don't do it now. Don't do it. You'll do it next time. You'll do it next week. You'll do it in a different way. But to take a mitzvah and literally throw it out the window, he's not so sure that even Meshev HaTaz the Chazal have the authority to do that. And therefore, says the Taz, for them to assert Kiyah Shofar on Yomtif Mishum Shemisak Lashir, that would mean the end of Kiyah Shofar. For them to say not to blow on Shabbos, Hashem doesn't always fall on Shabbos. Every couple of years, it hasn't fallen on Shabbos for a good 10 years almost. So it doesn't fall on Shabbos all the time. So we're not being Eike the Mitzvah Lagamrei. We're just putting it on hold for now. Pick it up next year. We'll pick it up in 3 years from now. We'll pick it up in a few years from now. But we're not being Eike the Mitzvah Vatal Mitzvah Be'atzimusel. So says the Taz, based on this Yisoid that he thinks is correct, he said, now we understand why Chazal never asked Mila on Shabbos. Mila on Shabbos, it says in the Chumash, B'yom HaShmini, there's no reason for that possible. We already know from Pashas Lechel, you have to do a bris on the eighth day. So why did the Torah say B'yom HaShmini? B'yom comes, L'rabbel Shabbos. That was the reason for this pasuk. If you're going to make a gezeirah that you can't do a bris on Shabbos, what you're basically doing is taking a pasuk and throwing it out the window. Yom Tshuva Yalochem, the Torah doesn't say, if the Torah would have said, V'davash HaMashlam Yom Tshuva Yalochem HaFilu B'Shabbos, so then we would have no right to do away with that mitzvah. We have no way to quest out a pasuk out of Chumash. But the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah doesn't say Yom Tshuva HaFilu B'Shabbos. The Torah says Yom Tshuva Yalochem, we have no reason to believe otherwise. So when Beis Din comes around every few years and says, don't blow on Shabbos, they're not being like a mitzvah. They're not being like a pasuk. They're telling you this year, don't blow. Next year, pick it up again. But if they would do away with a meal on Shabbos, even though we do milas on the other days of the week, but do away with the milam Shabbos would be taking a pasuk chumash and throwing it out the window. And that they have no kach, they have no authority to do. That's the Taz as you sell to answer the Ran's kasha and to solve the dilemma of the Rabbi Mizrachi all in one fell swoop. So by saying, when all is said and done, we still have this gezeirah, the Rabban in front of us, but Mikdash Yatek, the love of Medina. But comes the Mishnah and tells us something startling. Comes the Mishnah and says, Yishachar v'yisa Mikdash, hiskin Rabbi Mizrachi, ish yutekim b'beis din. Rabbi Yechon Zach has changed the din and said that one can be tekeya in a Beis Din. And everything's hunky-dory, no problem. As long as you're in front of Beis Din, you can blow shofar. Why? What's the svar? So according to the Bavli, it makes an awful lot of sense. According to the Bavli, the whole reason for not blowing was a concern, maybe you're going to come to carry. So the same way that we find in the Beis HaMikdash and Shvus B'Mikdash, it's very likely that you're in the presence of the Beis Din, there's a little pacha, the Gedolei Hador there, the Rabbanim there, the Paskin Shalos, the Beis Din for business, so they can remind you not to carry the shofar. So there's no real concern. The degree of concern is so minuscule in front of Beis Din, the Chazal give you a green light. So the same way that they didn't apply the Gezer B'Mikdash, because Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, because of the context that makes a Mikdash is so powerful, well, did not mean the context of Bezer is also going to prevent you from doing Chatoim. But according to Rishalmi, it's very hard to understand, according to Rishalmi, that there's no Tkiya Shofar on Shabbos Midaraisa, because that's the parasha of Zichron Trua. And the only reason why you blow the Mikdash is because, remember we spoke about this yesterday, the Gzeras Kos of Yom Trua Lechem B'chor Mokom, when it says Vasisam Oila, so Vasisam Oila is begala to me that Yom Trua is Chal, even Mikdash, even on Shabbos. So that's a Mikdash Tikadin. So how does that carry over to Bezdin? Bishlama, if the Isra blowing Chutzla Mikdash was a Derabonadik Isra, so Chazal could tamper with it, could play around a little bit, they could tweak it a little bit and say it doesn't apply now because of Bezdin. But if you're dealing with the Nisa D'Araisa, and the only mati to blow was Vasisa Moila, because the Torah says it did Mikdash, but Mechil is covered, Rabbi Yechman Zachar, it wasn't Mikdash? Yavne was a nice place, but it wasn't Mikdash? Zachar did blow. So this kash has been bothering me for many, many years. So I thought recently that maybe the answer is as follows. Remember we spoke about the Yerushalmi, it wasn't 100% clear whether the Yerushalmi's view was that it's actually also to blow on Shabbos, or whether you're just putter for blowing on Shabbos. Remember we saw the Mitzvah Son and the Rav, we saw a lot of different possibilities, and we suggested a third possibility, that maybe there's really no Isser. It's just that you're putter for blowing. Except the Mikdash you have to blow. When Rabbi Yechim and Zakim is Misakin, that you have to blow in Beis Din, he wasn't Misakin that you Yetzim in the Raisa in Beis Din, you're not Yetzim in the Raisa. It's not a Zichron Shua. Unless you're in Mikdash, there is no blowing the Araisa Bechlal Chutz LeMikdash. So why are we wasting our time blowing in Beis Din? It wasn't to fulfill the Araisa of Yom Teruah. What was it to fulfill? Zeich LeMikdash. The same way there, Rabbi Yechman Zachin, the next Mishnah, Maseches Rosh Hashanah tells us, he made a Takwanas Al-Chama, Zeich LeMikdash, to shake a lula for an entire week. Even though in a Torah you only have to shake it one day, in the Mikdash it was a whole week, so therefore Mishachah Mishachah Mikdash, Yisrael Yechman Zachin, she would netless a lula called Shiva, Zeich LeMikdash. The blowing in Beis Din is a Zeich LeMikdash. The blowing in Beis Din is not a real din. It's not a real din deraisa. Yitaka wouldn't be yaitzim in deraisa if you blow in front of Beis Din. Achidish Gol, look, Mantir Rishalmi. I don't know, just a thought that came to me a couple of days ago. But again, Allah, we don't follow the Rishalmi, follow the Bavli, and therefore, we understand full well, very simple, why Rabbi Yechman Zachar instituted a takon of blowing Beis Din, because the Beis Din, it really makes sense, it's really not all that much to be concerned with. So the bottom line is, we have this Kula, Baruch Hashem, we have this green light to blow in Beis Din. We just have to figure out what's called the basin for these purposes. So the Mishnah, in the beginning of the fourth paragraph of Hashanah, quotes him a three-way machlekes ha-tanoim, what exactly Beis Din means, and it's unclear what all the three opinions are. One opinion is clear. One opinion of the Gemara is that it has to be Mamash the Sanhedrin. It has to be the Beis Din HaGodol. One Tanner, Beleza, says, L'hizkim Rabbi Yechim and Zachat L'biyavne Belvad. We know the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that the Beis Din HaGodol left Yerushalayim, and then it traveled to Yavne. Rabbi Yochanan Zakeh was one who was instrumental in telling Yavne Chachameha. So the Beis Din HaGodol was functioning as a Sanhedrin. It had certain limitations as a Sanhedrin because there was no Beis HaMikdash anymore. There could be Dandi Nefashas, other things. But it still presumably had the Koyach of a Beis Din to some degree. Maybe even a Beis Din HaGodol, like Mr. Ram and the Ramban, whether we can have the status of Beis Din HaGodol in the absence of Mikdash. But whatever it was a very, very unique, special place. And therefore, according to one Tana, Lohiskin Rabbi Yechman Zachar Ella B'Yavne Bovad. And the other Tanaim disagree. But it's not clear exactly what the other Tanaim say. To what degree do they disagree? So it's a little bit unclear. So the Rif has a very, very famous Shita, the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, where the Rif, where the Ran learns Shan the Rif, comes out that Lamaisa, you really can blow shofar in a Beis Din. As long as you have a real Beis Din. It can't be just some ad hoc, you know, three guys, Hatar Shtadarim, you know, every Shana morning, yeshiva guys writing a prisbo or something, those guys, that's not good. But if it's a real bona fide Beis Din, that's fine. And you can actually blow shofar in that presence of a Beis Din. And the Riff quotes this din, even though the Riff knew full well he didn't have smicha, the Riff didn't have the authentic smicha from Yishuv Yishuv Moshe Ben, that was long gone, hundreds of years before. The Riff doesn't make any requirement, any condition, that you have to be a Beis Din Samoch. Now, there are certain areas of halacha where you have to have smicha for. Certain very, very specific areas you need smicha. Etc. The Rif doesn't say the word samach anywhere. Not only does not say the word samach, from the fact that he quotes the dinim, and the Rif only quotes the dinim that in Agela Maisa, Bezban Hazeh, it seems pretty clear that the Rif sheet is you don't need smicha in the formal sense of the word. Three, real bona fide dayanim. So we showed him head on. They're functioning as a Beis Din. They're in Beis Din all the time. Well, a week long, they have set hours for Beis Din. So if such a Beis Din convenes on Rosh Hashanah, you can blow shofar in their presence, even Bizman Hazeh. Not only is that the implication of the Rif, but we have a tradition that we showed him have in the name of the Rif, that the Rif actually did this. That the Rif every year, whenever you had a Rosh Hashanah Chas V'Shamas, like this year, in Morocco, in Fez, where the Rif lived, and then later in the years he moved to Spain. So the Rif blew shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shabbos in his Beis Din. He was the Rav of the city, he was the Rav of the town, he had a functioning Beis Din every day. So they sat and they had a Moshe Beis Din on Rosh Hashanah, and they would come and they would literally blow in shul. Stop, imagine, you hit the Lametzech 7 times, then they would move everyone away, they'd take the 3 chairs, they would sit down as a Moshe Beis Din, and the Balteke would get up and would blow in front of the Beis Din. That was the Kishar for the days of the Rif. So the Rambam always considered himself to be like a continuation of the tradition of the Rif, because the Rambam was the Talmud of his father, Ben Maimon, who in turn was the Talmud of the Rimagash, who in turn was the Talmud of the Rif. So the Rambam never saw the Rif. The Rambam did not overlap with the Rif. The Rambam may have overlapped slightly with the Rimagash. There is some legend that the Rambam's father brought him to the Rimagash when he was a little boy to get a bracha. There's a chassidish story about the Rambam. And the Rambam said that, tells you all the great things from the bracha. And I wasn't there, I wasn't in Gash or wherever the story took place. I wasn't in Spain, wherever this story was. So the bottom line is the Rambam considered the Rebbe Gash to be his Rebbe, even though he wasn't a formal Talmud of his, because he was a Talmud of his father. The father, in turn, was a Talmud of the Rebbe Gash. So the Rambam writes in one place that the Rif was almost always right. A few times he disagrees. A few times here and there, the Rambam says, every once in a while I'll disagree with the Rif, and this is one of the cases where he disagrees. The Rambam writes in the Chashayfa that you cannot blow shofar just out in any Beis Din. You have to be a Beis Din Samach Beretz Yisrael. You have to have a Beis Din that has authentic smicha. We have not had authentic smicha since the days of the Amoraim, since the days of Avraham Rava. That whole smicha process could only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael, and it was broken up by the Romans and basically came to an end. So we don't have formal smicha bizman hazeh. Although the Rambam does have a unique statement in Hilchos Sanhedrin, where the Rambam writes that if you get all the Rabbanim together in Eretz Yisrael, they could jumpstart the smicha process again. They could start up Yesh Me'ayin. The Rambam has a raya, because the Rambam says, the pasuk says, "Vashiva shavtaik v'rishona, v'tzaik v'chila, v'achvarchein ken yikur alachar tzedek." So the Rambam says that the simple meaning of the Nevuah is that the Dayanim are going to come back, the Sanhedrin is going to come back before the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rambam says, how are we going to get a Sanhedrin started again? Who's going to get the smicha started? To be on Sanhedrin, you have to have smicha. So who's going to start the official smicha Yisroel Yisrael Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Rambam says, very simple. He said, the din must be, there's a way to start it up even today. And what is that way? So Yerali, the Rambam writes a chiddush. He doesn't have a raya brew from the Gemara for it. But he, in Perish of Shnais, he brings this raya from the Pasuk and Navi about Moshe Vishvatach Rishayna. The Rambam says, if you get all the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael together to agree that to confer smicha on one Gavlador, then he in turn becomes a samuch, and then he can give smicha to others. That's a famous sheet of the Rambam. This was put into place in Tzfat in the 1500s, in the days of the Beis Yosef. So the Beis Yosef's famous Rebbe, Rabbi Yachon Beirav, said that we should paskin like this Rambam, and he actually asa maisa, and he conferred, his Tamidim made him the chief samuch, and he was in turn samuch a few others, including the Beis Yosef himself. And then the Chachmei Yushalayim got very, very upset about it for many, many different reasons. There was a big, big machlokes back and forth for quite some time between the Chachmei Tzfat and the Chachmei Yushalayim in the middle of the 1500s, whether we should follow this Rambam, whether the Rambam even meant it, or whether it applies to Bezman Hazeh, whether it was done properly. A lot of different nekudas they were fighting about. And history, in a sense, paskened against the Chachmei Tzfat. And history paskened like the Chachmei Yushalayim, because at the end of the day, it didn't continue. It went for one generation, and then it died down. So we haven't had smicha in quite some time. According to the Rambam, if you don't have smicha, then you can't blow shofar in Shachas B'Shabbos. So that's the reason why the Maisa we don't blow anymore. In Shulchan Aruch, the Rif Sheet is not even quoted at all. It's not even a suffix. We pass like the Rambam, most of the Rishonim, that's been the Minhag Yisrael clearly for the last 1,000 years. Since the days of the Rif, we don't find any of the Talmidim of Rif who continued this prospect. We don't find anybody who was actually going. No one that Rishonim have ever heard of. Bein b'chachmei Ashkenaz, bein b'chachmei Sfarad, who actually did this except for the Rif. And therefore, the Minhag Olam has been for almost 1,000 years. There is no blowing of shofar whatsoever, based on this idea that you require a real bona fide Beis Din, which we unfortunately do not yet have. Bizman Hazeh.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
But according to the Rambam, doesn't he hold that when we say Mikdash, it really means Yushalayim? So therefore, if you're in Yushalayim and you have a Beis Din of non-smicha, wouldn't that like fulfill both the Rif and the Rambam?
Yeah, but I think the Rambam would only say that when you have a Mikdash. When you have a Mikdash, then the Rambam holds you can blow in the outskirts of Yushalayim also. I think so. So there was a famous story that happened, I don't remember exactly how many years ago, about 100 years ago, give or take, but there was a certain Rav in Yerushalayim who maybe wanted to do Yoch Heshben, who actually decided that we're going to blow Shofar on Shabbos. And there was a big tumult at the time. There were a lot of the Rabbanim were very, very upset about it. They felt that that's not the way, we haven't done this in 1,000 years. And they didn't think that it was appropriate to blow Shofar on Shabbos. It was a big fight, back and forth. It's not 100% clear what the end of the story was. It's clear they did not blow publicly in shul, that's for sure. There are different rumors flying around. It's hard to sort out the rumors of 100 years ago. But there were some who claimed that he actually made a beis din in his own house. And behind closed doors, they actually blew shofar on Shabbos. Again, if I wasn't in Gosh in the 1000s, I wasn't in Shalim in the 1920s either. So I can't tell you exactly what happened. But I know there are... it was a very dramatic episode in the history of old Yerushalayim. Again, what happened at the end, I cannot tell you. Okay, so we'll try to segue into a little bit Divrei Chizuk, Divrei Sairus. Right? Should we switch the recording?